reading is the 23rd Psalm, and I'm reading from the old King James Revised Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Today is our parish annual day of giving, and I get to talk about money, which unfortunately, as the COVIDers, we don't get to dodge talking about. But money is a vulnerable thing to talk about, isn't it? Because it is all-consuming, it's really helpful. We live in a world where there is such a spectrum of poverty and wealth, but it's part of the gig, it's part of life. So we're going to talk about it today. We're just going to touch on it briefly as a means in our service now to reorientate our minds and our hearts to the goodness of God as we talk about money. And in our parish update meeting after morning tea, there'll be more space to talk about the needs of our parish and us as a parish moving forward financially. But in this moment now, I want us to grasp afresh the goodness of God. Now, I grew up in Whanganui, and I'm one of four kids, and my mum had this little tradition where she would rotate taking us kids for the weekly grocery shop. And we used to, for those of you who have lived in Whanganui for a while, what is now New World used to be called Right Price. And we went to Right Price, and we'd do the shop, and then mum would always take us for an ice cream at McDonald's, which is still in the same place, afterwards. So it's a bit of nostalgia for me. But I can remember that at Right Price, there was this one aisle that had a shelf with packed lunches. They were in these little Ziploc bags, and they had a Lee snack, a roll-up, a little juice box, and a bag of chippies. And I remember my heart would flutter a bit when I saw that shelf thinking, if I ask mum, will she let me get one for a treat this week at my school lunch? And it's not that I grew up in poverty by any means, but I knew that things were tight growing up as a kid. So things like that were a big treat. It was very exciting. And what I can also remember is going through the checkout at Right Price, and mum would often pay for the groceries with a check. And I can still remember the day where I discovered that a check wasn't just free money. I was under this impression that when mum wrote out the check, she could just write whatever on it, and somehow magically the groceries were paid for, and it was like this thing that I just thought. And also the day that I realised that having lots of little silver coins didn't necessarily mean that it was the same amount as one gold coin, you know, and this desperate desire to buy something with my coins and get more coins back was so exciting for me to have more coins in my wallet, even though it was a less amount. So this, like, as a little billy, understanding what money was and what it was used for. Now, the trolley-pushing role switched when I was about 10, 11, 12. My parents felt called by God to move to Tonga, a little island in the Pacific, where Dad was the principal of an Anglican school. And our money went, like, down to very, very minimal. And I was very aware that this was a cost that my parents were paying for us to move to Tonga. And it was only me at home by this point, so I used to go with mum every week on the grocery shop. And she tells me the story that I would say to her, "Now, mum, do you really need that?" And there were even times where I would be putting things that she had put in the trolley back on the shelf. Because I started to understand this narrative that money was a difficult thing, that it buys things, but if you don't have stuff, you can't buy it. And although there's wisdom in understanding this, I have got this relationship with money deep in my soul that is fearful about not having enough. And I shop in op shops, I squirrel money away, I always am on the lookout for a good deal. Now, those things in and of themselves are really not bad. There's a lot of wisdom in that, those things. But I know that for myself, there's this deep fear of not having enough. This narrative of living in scarcity, afraid that I won't have enough money to pay the bills, afraid that I won't have money to buy my kids the dream that they have of a present for Christmas. And we live in a culture where it's always more. The culture that you'll be happier if you have more. I even got to a point about 5 years or 6 years ago where at Lent I gave up loyalty cards. I tell you, Caleb like can testify to this, I am obsessed with finding a good deal. I'm obsessed with getting my 11th free coffee on my coffee card. I'm obsessed with getting the fuel vouchers to get the discount for my fuel. It was an obsession I had, and I felt God calling me to put those loyalty cards aside so that I could examine what was actually going in my heart. Now, Rosemary read out this beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, and it's often read at funerals, and that's right, because it's a celebration of life and God's goodness. But I think we need to be speaking out Psalm 23 more over our lives, because it's about life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. Wow. Just imagine that for a moment. Never being in want for anything. That's a huge statement. And yet that is the promise that God offers us. We have this life of Billy here with a soul that gets flustered and frustrated and anxious and fearful about money. And yet there's this beautiful promise over here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I want to live this life. It doesn't matter about what you have or what you don't have. What matters is what you think you have. It is possible to not have much and still live the abundant life. And it is possible to have much and to still live the abundant life. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not the one that's in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I am in the care of someone else. This life is available. This life that is painted in Psalm 23 is available to anyone who will allow God to be their shepherd.
Just want to speak for a moment about the Zacchaeus story that we saw a moment ago, which you can find in Luke chapter 19. And it's purposefully put at that point. Luke's really clever about putting it in that spot because it's just after we've had the rich young ruler. If you know that story of the man who came before Jesus and said, what can I do to earn eternal life? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. And he says, yes, I do all those things. And he said, okay, you got one more thing to do, which is to give away all your wealth. And the man can't do that because he has too much wealth. He's living scarcity, even though he has so much. And yet you see Zacchaeus on the other side, this incredible moment of this man who totally lives in scarcity, that he steals from other people. And he steals from his own people. He becomes a debt collector for the colonizing power. Yeah? That's who he's working for, against his own people. And he steals from them. Because somewhere in him, he's got this need for more, or this brokenness that steals, that feels like he hasn't got enough. But there's this incredible moment. I would love you to imagine it in the gospel reading in Luke 19. It doesn't happen exactly like it did on the stage here. Actually, it happens in Zacchaeus' home. And if you follow the story, it doesn't include Jesus doing any teaching. Are you with me? Jesus just says, I love you enough to come into your home. And he's in his home, and suddenly, across the dinner table, Zacchaeus' heart breaks. He doesn't just give back what he's stolen. He gives back four times what he's stolen, which means he's digging into what is already his by rights. Does that make sense? He's moved from scarcity to massive abundance. That's what Luke wants to tell us in this passage, is that you can give it all away. Now, why and how did Zacchaeus do that in his room, in his home, sitting across the dinner table? Why? What happened to him? He saw the abundance and the love of Jesus. That's what Billy's talking about, is that when we see God's goodness, as we see it in Psalm 23, suddenly we're in a position where we actually can be abundant. We were, as a community house, we're doing a book study at the moment, and we're journeying with a guy who I quite like called Dallas Willard, and we were listening to some of his teaching, and one of the things he said is that one of the first disciplines to take up when you become a Christian is to give, is to tithe, to give 10% of your money to the church, or actually even be more abundant and give more of your stuff away. And when he said that, we had a little bit of a discussion, because we've always considered that giving and tithing is something that you do later on when you become more faithful. Do you know what I mean? You learn to become a follower of Jesus. You study his word. You perhaps take up some prayer and some fasting, and you should grow into those sort of things. You commit to being part of a small group or whatever, something. And then at the end, we'll start giving some money. But Dallas was saying that you should give it first. And the person who was chatting with him said, "What? Why? Usually people say the last thing to get converted is your wallet." Yes, which we probably all laugh about because we feel like it's true, yeah? But Dallas said, actually, if you've become a follower of Jesus, you realize that he has enough for you. That our Father has cattle on 1,000 hills. It is possible to live a life of not wanting, whether you have enough to pay the bills or whether you have way too much to pay the bills. We're not talking about what you've got. We're talking about what you think you've got. And how that affects your generosity. I know when I think I haven't got enough, I'm not generous. But when I realize I do, I am.
Just want to take us back to Psalm 23 again. Just want you to close your eyes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflow. He prepares a table before me. The beautiful thing about this psalm is that it is him doing this work in and through us. And I love the image of the sheep in the meadow, that the sheep can lie down in a green pasture. What kind of a sheep can lie down in a green pasture? One that is full, one that is satisfied. He is our provider. He is the good shepherd. And because he is so abundant and he is so good, it is safe for us to be generous. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come afresh and help us to lift our gaze to your goodness, to your abundance. And on this day of giving, as we come together as church family and contemplate and pray and discern what we're each being asked to offer in the life of this parish, we pray that you would speak to us clearly and soften our hearts. We bless your name and we thank you that you are so, so good, and that your mercy endures forever, and that goodness and mercy follows us every day of our life. Amen.